This is Michael Johnson. We are here in New York City inside of the Data Vision store here at 5th and 39th here in New York. And I am joined here by a couple of people that are going to be involved in a fascinating event which is about to kick off. I'm here with Versu and also with Ruben Steiger, who is the CEO of Millions of Us. Welcome to the podcast, both of you.
Thank you very
much. Thanks, Michael.
Okay. Now, Versu, you're about to immerse yourself into a bubble. And I've been calling, you know, before I knew who you were, I was like, oh, we're going to be talking about Bubble Boy. Yeah, but why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're just about to do and step into a different world. And this different world is Second Life, but it's also involved in the real world as well. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
All right. Now I'm going to get into the storefront window here on 39th and 5th and live there for 3 days, 72 hours around the clock. And at the same time, I'll be on a computer, and my avatar, Versu, in Second Life, will be sitting at her computer. And we'll both be building together. For as much as I can build in 72 hours, 3D modeling, for people who, I guess, who don't know what that is. Be backed up by a team of folks in Second Life that also on the Millions of Us team. And they'll get to go to bed at night. I'll get to sleep in the window. But we'll all be working on it together.
So it's not going to be like some places where you get to like go to a nice hotel in the area and you get to hang out there and then come back in the morning.
No, I'm going to roll over and bang my nose against glass. And I guess make some friends with folks out on the street. I guess it depends what I wear to bed, huh?
Well, it's going to be New York, so you're going to have a lot of friends here. That's going to be for sure. Ruben, tell me a little bit about how you're involved with this and what Millions of Us is. It's sort of an offshoot of Linden Lab.
We don't have a formal affiliation with Linden Lab. We're a developer that brings real companies into virtual worlds and specializes in using not just virtual worlds but social media to help companies do interesting things around their brands, specifically focused on communities of their users who are excited about their products. So in addition to doing stuff with Intel, we're working with a lot of other companies and doing some interesting stuff. My personal background is, before starting Millions of Us early this year, I was the evangelist for Linden Lab from a pretty early point in that company's history when there were 15,000 people in Second Life. And I was charged with explaining to the outside world this very odd notion of Second Life and trying to convince them that Second Life, first of all, to explain it and actually help them understand, and then to sort of convince them that this was something that was going to change the way we all lived and interacted online.
Now, speaking of that way of living and interacting online, you're going to be in both worlds at the same time.
Right.
You're going to be living in this bubble in the window for 72 hours with nothing but your internet connection and a laptop, basically.
Right.
And how are you going to? So how are you going to get stuff? How are you going to do this?
I'm going to order it online. There's lots of places in New York that deliver if you order online. And I plan on hitting a lot of sushi restaurants in the area. It's where I live right now. I don't know of any good sushi, so I'm really going to take advantage of that. Everything I need, I have to order. And I've been told I can order a masseuse, and I'm pretty psyched about that.
Oh, that's
going to be the highlight of the 3 days for me.
We'll be around for the pictures for that. Well, this is kind of interesting because I think that this sort of addresses how people are. I mean, we've heard about telecommuting and whatnot before, but this sort of takes it to a whole other level.
Oh yeah, this is not even. You're at work, you know. I go to work in my pajamas. I get my cup of coffee and I sit down and I'm at work, and I don't need to be anywhere in particular to do what I do. As long as I have an internet connection and a PC with a good graphics card, I'm good to go. And pretty much anybody can do that.
Yeah. If people are going to be thinking about this kind of thing, what kinds of ideas at first sort of introduce you to the idea that you could actually do this? What was the first thing that sort of made a difference for you?
I really just started doing it for fun, and then I got really addictive. I just loved building. I completely stopped watching TV altogether. I don't know the last time I turned my television on. I just started getting good at it. And then I met Ruben and showed him a couple things I had done. And when he started Millions of Us, he said, you know, you want to come work for us? And I said, sure, why not? I mean, I was doing it already for fun. Might as well do it and get paid. I'm going to do it anyway, you know. I don't think a day's gone by that I've been near a computer that I haven't gone into Second Life, you know, logged in and made something. And it's purely for my own enjoyment. It just sort of happened. It evolved, you know. I didn't go into it thinking this is going to be my new career. I was like, oh, this is a really cool game. So we called it a game, you know, back then. And I found out what my niche was there, you know, building stuff. You know, I don't script. You know, I'm a complete scripting idiot. And I don't make hair, but I do make buildings, and I make stuff that go in them and stuff that goes around them. And it turns out I have a knack for it. So I'm just going with it until I don't want to do it anymore.
And Ruben, tell me a little bit about the technology sort of behind it, and say working with Intel, how does that sort of configure into all this? Because, you know, it wouldn't be possible without the technology to do this in both places. Can you tell me a little bit about how that model is?
Sure. So when Second Life started, the CEO of Second Life is a man by the name of Philip Rosedale, and his vision was to create an interconnected world that was in 3D where anyone could build and where the stuff that I built in real time was viewable by you, and we could collaborate. We could effectively sort of build a Lego building digitally together. And I could do what I was good at, and you could do what you were good at, and we could add many more people, and we could all do it and share the content. When he started this, he formerly was this CTO at Real Networks and one of the pioneers of streaming media, streaming video, and the real player. And quickly he realized that in order to do this and make it extremely, extremely large, you had to do two things. One, you had to let the users build all the content and give them an incentive to do that. And the incentive for users to do that is that they own the content that they create and can benefit monetarily from selling it to others. Secondly, in order to accommodate that huge amount of content that's in the world, it's currently a space twice the size of Manhattan and growing rapidly. You had to stream the content to people. So in 1999, when they set out, broadband penetration wasn't large, but they knew that that would get larger and larger. And today, that's what enables this experience with the degree of broadband penetration. And secondly, you need a fast video card and a very good processor in order to render the graphics. So the Intel Core Duo plays beautifully in that because both from processing and also from the Centrino point of view, from if you're doing this in a mobile environment, it makes that very, very easy and pleasurable.
So as you go along with this, I know that you were talking earlier about getting your father sort of to take a look at this. And so do you think more and more people are in that same position, sort of this is kind of occurring to them that there's a little bit of a different way of doing their life, basically?
Oh, absolutely. Like you said, I was saying earlier, there's some people that are just not exposed to it. They have no idea what it is. It's really just another world. If someone said you have a whole nother world, bright, shiny, and new, that you can take a major part in creating it however you want to see it, creating yourself how you want to see yourself, interacting in the way you want to interact, would you step into this world? And of course you would. And knowing you could step back out and, you know, feed your dog and your kids and, you know, go to bed with your spouse or whatever that night. But, you know, go back into this world and make it whatever you want, whatever you see. And anything you can think of, you can make. I built a castle because I'll probably never get to Bavaria, or not anytime soon. And I've always loved Castle Neuschwanstein. So I decided, well, if I can't go to the castle, I'll bring the castle to me. So I made it. And anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. And after a while, you know, other people want you to do it for them. So, you know, you get real busy, and it becomes very addictive and, yes, profitable.
What's really, really cool to play on what Kes is saying is that in Second Life right now, you know, a lot of people come to us and as this begins to approach 1 million residents, more and more people are aware of it. It was on the cover of Business Week, The Economist. It's all over the place now, and people are talking about it. And when people understand it, first of all, it's hard to understand. Once they understand it, lots of people say to me, they say, don't you find that terrifying that people are escaping their lives and going into an alternate reality? And my answer to them is, I understand why that might worry you, but I actually find it inspiring that instead of sitting around passively watching television for 10 hours a week, people are now able to actively, essentially write themselves, write a movie that stars themselves, right? And it's borne out by the data that the relationships that people form in Second Life are very deep. They're profound and they're serious. And there are, you know, stroke victim survivors having support groups in Second Life. There are hundreds of universities right now conducting remote courses using Second Life as a platform so that not only the students who are physically available to go to the class can attend, but also people from geographically remote areas. It's very cool.
I'm going to let you guys start to kick this off because I know that you've got to climb into the bubble soon. I'll give you as much freedom as you can have right now. And is there a connection where people can sort of look at what Verse is doing? Is there a site for that?
Sure. So both the live video from the real world and the live video from Second Life will be streamed to a site called NYC Live Window, NYCLiveWindow.com, and they'll be able to follow her progress. And also, if they're in New York, we'd encourage them to come out to the corner of 39th and 5th and cheer her on. And if they're in Second Life, they should IM and say, "You go, girl."
All right, I'm speaking with Verisu, who's about to climb into the bubble for 72 hours, and you can visit her online. And also been speaking with Ruben Steiger, a CEO of Millions of Us. Thanks for being with us on the podcast, and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
Pleasure.